Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live on this Wednesday night edition, brought to you live from here in King, New Hampshire. With you in the studio tonight, it is Aria.
It is not me.
Oh, you turned down way low. Go ahead.
Speakless Mountaineer.
And Nikki.
And no matter how many times I do this, I end up feeling like unprepared as the show begins. You know, there's so much to do prior to the startup of the show, and it becomes a bit reflexive after a while. And it's just curious how you do these things automatically, and then... Like, just a few minutes ago, I was running down the quick checklist, like, the show's going live, like, we're going on right now, did I do everything? And it's just, I did it all, reflexively, without giving any thought to it whatsoever. Humans are fascinating
creatures.
Yes. And there's a lot of stuff like that. It fascinates me how a human being can just do stuff and have no memory whatsoever of doing it.
I think that driving... Because I drive a lot for both of my jobs, and sometimes you'll just be driving home after work, and it's like, I don't even remember. It's like, I'm already in Keene.
Right.
Yep. It's like, that just doesn't seem safe that you just zone out, but I'm sure if somebody was about to crash into me, I'd move my car.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Those sorts of processes are all based on, as long as you get what you're expecting, then it leaves you alone.
Yeah.
But as soon as something weird happens, it says, okay, I need all your attention right now.
Yeah.
Now, what's wacky about that, though, is you also have another process to screw that process up. So, like, you take the same route home from work every day. So it's just a script, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's just like A follows B follows C, and you don't think about it. But you also have a part of you that will make you screw up, because you will just naturally seek an amount of novelty.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I'm just going to take this incorrect road today.
Yep. What? So, might be something neat at the end of it.
So despite being a religious person by nature, I'm not... Despite being a spiritual person by nature, I'm not superstitious, I guess, is the way I'm looking for. And there's been a few things happening lately that sort of make me curious about that, or reevaluate that, I suppose. Like, my sentencing, as we talked about last week, it was pushed back. It was finally officially pushed back a few days after Wednesday of last week. I don't remember exactly what day, but it was pushed back to March the 14th of 2023, which, of course, is Pi Day. 3.14.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And being as I have a tattoo of pi on the back of my head, I can't help but find some level of significance in that, right? And
well, beware the Ides of March, I guess.
But there's also that reality of, curiously, the Ides of March, the March the 15th day, that stands out in my memory as the day where Shemel versus Nazi happened here on LRN.FM. So, certainly a bit of significance around those days, but March the 14th, of course, is Pi Day, as we all know it, and that's going to be the day of my sentencing, for whatever that's worth, and I've always been a big advocate of Pi, but...
Yeah, I feel good about that.
Yeah.
That seems like a good sign to me.
That was how I felt about it.
Yeah.
And Leah, a Peakless Mountaineer, is here with us, of course, tonight, and that's unusual for a Wednesday night. I actually messaged you last night for a variety of reasons, but... It was largely due to anxiety, strangely enough. I've been having pretty severe anxiety issues for the last 2-ish months, maybe 3 months. And normally, my solution for anxiety and depression and things like that would be to just take some shrooms. But, one, I'm under, you know, federal pre-release conditions right now, so taking shrooms is not an option. I have no desire to go to jail for violating my bail conditions by
not
taking
worth
shrooms.
It.
No. Even if it would be for medicinal purposes, which it would be, it's not worth it to me. And
You're not allowed to choose your own medicine. Look, what do you think this is, some kind of free country?
They certainly would not like for me to. But I also tend to think that they probably have bigger fish to fry than little Aria doing shrooms for her anxiety. But it's not worth it to me to even evaluate. Plus, I know my brain physiology, my brain chemistry well enough to know that whatever's going on with me right now, it's fundamentally different from the types of anxiety that I've dealt with in the past that I took shrooms in order to deal with. This, what's going on right now, is unusual. I've never experienced it before, and I don't know how to address it.
Well, do you think it's because of an outside factor rather than an inside factor, if you know what I mean? Like, I'm assuming it's because of the sentencing coming up in a few months.
Well, that certainly didn't help. I recall it escalated sort of toward the end of November, and it only got worse as Ian's trial began. And my sleep issues just escalated to the point where I was sleeping like an hour, two, 3 hours a night. And they never really, it did go away at the end of the trial. There was like a week-long period where my sleep sort of went back to normal, but it was not very restful sleep. Like, I would sleep a full 8 hours, but I would wake up not feeling rested at all.
Yeah, you weren't getting into that deep REM sleep,
right?
Probably.
So that was about when the anxiety really started, and I suspect the sentencing plays a major role in it. Right. I do have this major life-changing thing hanging over my head. Mm-hmm. It is an actual sword of Damocles. I love referring to it as that. For those who are unfamiliar with the Greek mythology, he was someone who made Zeus angry, as people tended to do in Greek mythology. And the punishment for this was that he was tied to a rock under a tree with a sword hanging over him. And at any moment, the sword could fall and end his life.
Well, I thought he was this, like, really arrogant king that was so sure of himself that he himself suspended a sword by just a string above his own throne.
It could have been that as well. I could be mixing up
different stories. Well, also, sometimes within Greek mythology, there's two versions of story, or multiple versions of stories, rather.
Yeah.
Different translations.
That's why it's a nightmare trying to find out, what is the lineage? Whose father is... Oh, well, so that's listed as this here, this here, this here, and specifically doesn't have one over here.
So most recently, that would be yes. Actually, not most recently, because I've ended up with three different anxiety attacks today, which is way out of the seasonal average for me. But yesterday, I was having an anxiety attack in regard to Free Talk Live. I was like, people hate doing this show with me. I'm a terrible host. You know, just one of those sorts of self-criticism sort of things. Whether it's based on fact or not, it's irrelevant when you're having one of these anxiety attacks. And I realized that it was nonsense, right? But rationality doesn't necessarily matter when you're having an anxiety attack. Right? It doesn't matter that I know plenty of people would want to do the show with me, obviously, but it didn't matter. Yeah. But I did ultimately beat back the anxiety, and I started evaluating things from a rational standpoint. I was like, well, you know, it's true that it has been a long time since I was on the show with a lot of people. Like, the last time I was on the show with the captain was at Forkfest, and the last time I was on with Peakless was also at Forkfest, and so on. And it's good to mix these things up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Not just for the listener, but because Peakless and I will have very different conversations than, like, the captain and I will have, or that Bonnie and I will have, or that Nikki and I will have. And we have a wide range of co-hosts, and mixing and matching them is a fun way of mixing things up. So I ended up texting you, and like I said, it was largely a result of all of this anxiety, because that was what made me realize that I hadn't done a show with you in forever, that I had this anxiety attack. I was like, no one wants to be on the show with me. This is largely because it would appear as though we have lost, to some degree, Conan, who was on the show with us on Tuesdays. And,
oh, dang.
Yeah, he won't respond to me, so I don't know.
The woods finally has him, huh?
I'm sorry?
The woods finally has him, huh?
Well, I don't know.
He has finally left the grid entirely.
No, it's not that. It has something to do with the last show he was on with us was the drag queen episode, which ended up, clips of it went up on TikTok, and it was a very entertaining episode. It was a lot of fun. But after that, Conan went off to do his seasonal thing where he's very busy. I mean, he works at the post office, and, you know, it was Christmas time, so he's very busy. And he was supposed to write me a character reference for the judge, right? I mean, being a former military vet, I mean, being a military veteran and a postal worker, that sort of thing, it's nice for a judge to see.
Judges love a man in uniform.
Right, so I followed up with that, and he ended up saying that, you know, no, he won't write me a character reference, which was different from what he had said a month and a half before, where he was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll do this. I'd love to do it. Anything I can do to help. So that clued me in that something had changed between when I had asked him initially and he agreed to do it, and when I asked him, you know, when I was like, hey, man, the deadline's here. You know, my attorney needs these letters. Have you made any progress with it? And he was like, no, I won't write you one, or I can't provide a good character reference, or however he said it. So I checked, and sure enough, he had unfriended me on Facebook. I was like, well, this is curious, right? We've been friends for a little over 4 years since I moved to New Hampshire, more or less, and there's never been any sort of bad blood or hostility or anything. So I messaged him and said, understood, but can I ask why? And presumably he hit ignore at that point, and he hasn't responded to me. I do know that he was asked recently if he was going to return to the show, or if he was, you know, if that seasonal period of being busy had calmed down and he could return. And the response was, yes, but I won't be on the show with you and Aria anymore. So I don't know what that means, and I'm not getting a response from him. But when something like that happens, it hurts.
Yeah.
To lose a friend, especially without explanation, one that I've been friends with for several years, and I can only think it's related to the drag queen episode.
That's how it would appear, based on the timeline.
Mm.
Yeah, but there was nothing.
If you haven't heard from him at all since that episode, that stands to reason.
Well, other than the message that I sent him saying, hey, you know, what's up with the letter that you said you would write? It's that time, and his response was, well, I'm not writing you a good character reference, but to me, that's bad. How much did I upset you that you're not willing to tell a judge that I shouldn't go to prison, right? So I rewatched the episode, and I just didn't find anything in it that was particularly bad. There was a lot of laughter, but it wasn't laughing at him. It was laughing because of what he was saying.
And you know what? Things like that, scenes like that happen on this show all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just funny, and I don't think it should be something that's taken to heart. You know what I mean?
But it's
not really something that was... It's not like you guys were laughing at him or posting the video on TikTok to make fun of him. It was just, hey, we had this really good clip on the show. It was hilarious. People loved it. So we're going to promote it on our TikTok.
And it was tremendously successful.
Yeah, no, people loved it. And, you know, it caused a discussion on TikTok, and that's exactly what we're trying to do with these different social media platforms. So I don't know if that's what was taken offense to, or was it the conversation itself?
It's been a long time since I heard that episode, but I do know that in general, you do express a sort of ownership over the topic. I mean, like...
Well, I'm trans.
Okay, that doesn't mean you know everything about the topic. That doesn't mean you're right about everything that's related to the topic.
Well, I haven't... No, I've admitted repeatedly that I've never even been to a drag show. But
So I have been to a drag show.
Right.
And I gotta tell you, they are darn sexual.
Well, some of them, certainly.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, and this is part of a greater problem, I think, that, like, so, as I understand it, the whole point of a drag show, and I've never seen the other side of this, but it's always been the, like, men appearing to be women, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of this is to overemphasize feminine characteristics, like dress not just regular female feminine, but like hyper female feminine.
It's a caricature.
So like not just a little bit of heels, but like huge heels. Not just some makeup, but like a lot of makeup.
Right.
Like, so the whole thing. Now, the greater problem here, and this is a real greater problem, especially with women being fully represented in the workforce, is that most of our looking good as a woman has been oriented around the emphasis of sexual characteristics.
Sure. But back to the issue at hand, none of that really had to do with...
Oh, no. I think that's central to this thing, is because, like, this overemphasis of feminine characteristics is an overemphasis on sexual characteristics. So when you have an overemphasis on sexual characteristics, that's not a place for children.
But that's not necessarily, I don't know, I think there is, you know, a big spectrum of drag. You know, I've seen some drag, you know, and like you said, sometimes they overemphasize the feminine characteristics and the sexual characteristics, so they'll have big boobs and wide fake hips. But that's not always the case. I've seen some drag queens where they'll kind of have, you know, some of that toned down a little bit, and like I said, they're fake, so you can switch the size on whatever prosthetic body parts they're using. So I have seen kind of a spectrum of it. I mean, I shared the story last week, I think it was, where when I was 5 years old or something around there, my uncle's husband does drag, and a lot of his friends do drag in New York City, so I was, you know, like child at a family party dancing around with these drag queens. I didn't know the difference, but it didn't scar me for life. My parents didn't think it was inappropriate. Even my father, who was kind of critical of things like this, it was kind of just like, oh, whatever, they're having fun. So I don't necessarily think that it's scarring for children, and I do think there's a spectrum of drag.
Certainly,
but some of it definitely is inappropriate for children, and some of it isn't.
Obviously, I mean, some movies are inappropriate for children, but that doesn't mean that all movies are inappropriate for children. But I would certainly say that feminization and exaggerating feminine characteristics is not sexualized, right? If it's sexual, it's just because humans are innately sexual creatures. But to suggest that over embellishing one's makeup or eyeshadow or whatever is inherently sexual.
Yes. It absolutely is. Okay.
I don't think
that's
agree with
misogynistic
that.
Okay, as hell.
No. Okay. So blush. Why do you think there's blush?
Because
why does that exist?
Because blood rushes to women's cheeks.
When they are excited.
Yes.
Right. The whole
excitement comes in many forms.
Right.
Not merely sexual.
Right. But the reason that blush exists, the reason that is attractive, the reason that blush is attractive, the reason that red lips are attractive, this is all symbols of sexual excitation.
I understand that. I do understand
that.
Okay. But this is
the darkening around the eyes.
But if you're making that case, then you're saying that a woman walking down the street in makeup is inappropriate for children. Is that the case you're making? Because that's no more sexualized than a drag queen in and of itself. It's like makeup is sexualized. At that point, you're saying that women shouldn't be allowed around children.
That's definitely not what I'm saying. But I do think that we need to figure out a way to have a woman look nice without being sexually attractive. And I don't know how we're going to get there, because we've figured out how to make men look nice without being sexually attractive.
But does it matter?
Not at all.
Hmm?
Not at all. I think they're one and the same.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, how does a guy in a tux, for example, like, how does that attract sexually? Like, what secondary sexual characteristic does that embellish? Like, what about that appeals to the sex instinct?
I don't know. I'm not a biologist. I can't answer that question, but the same reason that women like a guy in a tuxedo is the same reason that men like a woman, you know, with a nice butt.
Well, no. So, and that's one of the unfortunate, unavoidable inequities. So what a man brings to the table is his ability to, biologically speaking, his ability to protect and to provide. So run, stab something with meat, and drag it back here. And also, stab the things that might eat your kids. Like, that's the performance there. That's what they bring to the table. What they don't bring to the table is to be a portal for human life. We're just not able to do that.
I understand, but to get back to the subject of the drag show episode, it was mostly, especially the clip in question, it was mostly just laughter. I said almost nothing through the entire thing. I mostly just laughed. Ian was the one making comments, which was what I found the offense so curious about this, because there was nothing that was said there.
Yeah, you seemed pretty innocent in the whole.
Yeah, I just sort of sat there laughing, and Ian just sort of sat there laughing. And to the extent that anyone said anything, I believe it was Ian who was actually speaking. So I was curious what I had said or done that could have offended him. And then I thought, well, maybe it's the presence of this video, right? Maybe it was the fact that I took these clips instead of, you know, just letting them die out there on the internet. But, like, if that was the case, a response of, hey, take this down, I don't approve of it, would have been, okay, fine, sorry, I didn't realize that it would Absolutely.
Yeah, that is the really sad thing to me about this, is that for whatever reason, he is obviously upset.
Right.
And instead of dealing with this directly to you and be like, hey, this bothered me, here's what I would like to change in the future for us to continue interacting with each other, instead he just completely withdraws. And I mean, sure, he's got the right to, but that doesn't make it less ugly.
It also could be a completely other reason that has nothing to do with the episode.
Yeah. But, you know,
so we're making a lot of assumptions here.
We are, but I'm left
to do
nothing but assume when
exactly.
A friend of mine for 4 years is like, no, I'm not going to make the case that you shouldn't go to prison. And no, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. So I mean, it's like, damn. All right. Well, let's back up and reevaluate the situation. And the best I have to go on is that drag episode.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I spent a lot of people in the TikTok comments, they did call him transphobic or hateful or whatever. And I went out of my way to respond to those people. And I posted a separate comment saying, look, guys, no, he's not transphobic at all. He's not hateful. He's not being bigoted. At worst, he's just confused on this topic. At worst, he's ignorant here.
You know, like these things, a lot of like drag queens and trans people, and for a lot of people, that's a completely new subject for them.
Yeah.
Like, they don't get pronouns, they don't, and it's not that all of these people are being malicious when they're like, are you two people when you're a they? They just don't understand it. So,
real quick, the most irritating thing for me when someone's a they is that they don't use we when they talk about themselves. Come on. Let's be consistent here. Like, I am all for you using, like, the royal we. I'm grooving with that. I believe in individual sovereignty. Great. Good for you. But you can't go around saying I and then have me call you a they.
It gets confusing.
That's beyond the pale. That's past my tolerance level.
That's a fair point. I find they, them just difficult in general, right? I've learned that I can call anyone whatever pronouns they want. And no matter how masculine they are, I can call them she. No matter how feminine they are, I can call them he. It's not difficult for me to do. However, I struggle so much with calling someone they, them.
It does throw me off. I've had some they, thems at work, and I misgender them all. And I feel like a jerk because I'm like, it seems, I don't care if it's genuine or not, whatever. I'm not going to be the person to purposely misgender someone, but sometimes it's hard not to, because typically people present as male or female, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of, if it's a trans person that has
out, you know?
You know? Well, exactly. And if it's a trans person that has a beard, they are clearly presenting as male. It is very easy for me to, even if their name in the computer is their dead name, that is female, it is easy for me to call this person a him. But when the they, it's just, it gets a little confusing, but whatever.
And on the other side of things, if you're a male trans to female, you know, cut the beard. Give me some help
here. Yeah, like, help us out,
maybe,
man.
Maybe wear a bra if I've known you for a decade. Just saying.
I'm with you on that one, man. But then once you start talking about that, people accuse you of trying to, like, gatekeep pronouns.
You're
or whatever.
Transphobic.
It's like, yeah, it's like, no, I'm just trying to.
That's transphobic trannies.
I'm trying to make all of our lives easier, myself included. So what is the best cure for anxiety? That's coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. An FAA computer malfunction led to the complete grounding of all flights in the United States this morning and travel headaches for many passengers.
I'm just praying that my flight is still good to go, because We've been planning this trip for 2 months, 3 months, so, and we have Airbnbs booked, rental cars booked.
While the FAA says normal air traffic operations have resumed, the damage has already been done as airlines scramble to get planes and crews to their locations. NBC News reporting that another batch of classified documents have been found. Aides to President Biden found the new documents in an area that was separate from the office where the first round of documents was found last November. English rock legend Jeff Beck has died at the age of 78. His family confirmed the news in a statement today. They say he recently contracted bacterial meningitis and passed away peacefully yesterday. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you are invited to join us, 603-283-6160. If you'd like to do that, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight is Aria,
Pinkless Mountaineer,
and Nikki.
And I did, of course, mention that my Santa thing is coming up in just over 2 months. That's certainly a large part of the anxiety and just mental health issues in general that I've been facing. It sucks to have something like this hanging over you, and I'm not the only one with something like this hanging over me. Ian Santa Zing is also coming up in a few months. I think his is April the 14th, so just a month after mine. And as I mentioned, I had asked Conan to write a letter for the judge, for me to give to the judge on my behalf, a character reference, that sort of thing. And Ian is asking you out there if he's impacted you, if he's affected your life, if he's helped you in some way. Go to letters.freetalklive.com. You'll find instructions there on what you can do, on how you can help Ian as he prepares for sentencing after being found guilty last month of 8 total counts, I think is what it was.
Yeah, I believe it was 8.
Yeah, so write a letter to Judge Joseph LaPlante about Ian's character. That's just what we're trying to do. Don't take the opportunity to rail against the jury or say how dumb you think the jury was. I've heard plenty of that. And look, whether you agree or disagree with the jury, I don't think any of them were dumb. I don't think it was stupid of them.
And that's not what the letter is about, you know?
Right. It's certainly not going to help. If you send a letter to Ian's attorney, it's like, you know, that stupid jury should have never done this. It's going to get thrown in the trash.
Exactly.
Never presented to the judge. We want to know, We want you to know how Ian helped you, not how angry you are at the jury or the federal government. Tell us what you think of Ian and how Ian helped you. That's letters.freetalklive.com. You can find instructions there on what to do and how you can help. That's letters.freetalklive.com. On the subject of anxiety, though, because all of this, it has sucked. I suspect there's some PTSD involved here, right? Because I was raided a little over, well, almost 2 years ago. By the time I'm sentenced, it will have been almost exactly 2 years since I was raided by the federal government. And there probably is some sort, this is probably why I can't sleep more than an hour or two without waking up. It's probably PTSD.
Well, and that's been a longer issue, right? You know, I know you said it's been worse the past few days, but...
Well, for the last 2 or 3 months, it's been substantially worse. Since the trial got closer and my sentencing got closer and then it got pushed back again, it's like, I understand and I agreed with my attorney about pushing back the sentencing, but like, man.
Yep.
I...
That sword's still there.
Yeah, I really wanted to get this over with. Like, if I don't want to go to prison. I swear to God, I don't want to go to prison. But if I'm going to prison, let's get it over with.
Yeah.
Let's get this clock ticking, right?
Well, and that's the purpose of anxiety. Like, as much as it sucks, it does serve a purpose. It's like, hey, there are dangers in this area, so we don't want to let you, you know, relax too much because you want to be able to punch it or run away from it when the danger rears its ugly head. So you have this unknown thing, and that's exactly what it is. It's the unknown thing. It's like something lurking in the dark. So your buddy's like, oh, a thing lurking in the dark. I know what to do with those.
Well, and that's the difference between anxiety and anxiety disorders, where the disorders is you have anxiety all the time about irrational things, but regular anxiety is that like fight or flight type of thing that's useful. So it's like, is this useful or is this not useful?
And it's really unfortunate that their whole machinery is set up to cause as much anxiety as it can.
I can't speak as to that, but I know that there's... you're right. There's something out there in the dark, this great big question mark, right? Am I going to prison? Am I going to get probation? I suppose at this point, after 2 years of being on pre-sentence release, I don't remember the exact terminology, the possibility of time served is even existent. I suspect that won't be what happens, but 2 years of probation effectively is what I've been on at this point.
Yeah, honestly.
However, that is unlikely to count for anything, so it probably won't matter. But, you know, nonetheless, it is a possibility. I have a life to plan, right? I have all of these things that I need to do, and Free Talk Live is a great big question mark. My other job is a great big question mark. My cats, my dogs, and none of it. I could have contingency plans, right? But there's so many unknowns in every direction that it's impossible to account for.
Well, and the Free Talk Live side of it, I think, is with Ian's trial, I think that was another big thing. Your body's going, okay, well, this is a really big question mark. Something big is rustling in the bushes because, you know, if justice had actually been served and they went, well, no, he didn't do any of those things, clearly, then we would have nothing to worry about. And so now, okay, in the sense of Free Talk Live, it's like, okay, well, the continuity of our show is going to go with the same amount of unknowns as it did before the raid, which is something that we're sort of used to. Whereas, like, him being on trial for this, okay, well, now that he's been found guilty, well, at least we have this collapsed. It's not an unknown. There is definitely something here that we need to adapt to. So at least you know this is a bad thing, instead of it being, maybe it's a bad thing, maybe not.
But to that extent, you know, our options on how we can adapt to it are even further limited by the fact that 6 months from now, I may be in prison, in which case one of the largest factors we have that makes adapting even possible is removed from the equation. It's so stressful. And as they say, the punishment is in the process. That's certainly true. I suspect there's some actual real punishment coming, hopefully not prison, but the process itself is not good. So what can one do about anxiety? Evidently, kindness may be the best medicine for curing...
What do you say, kindness?
Kindness.
Oh, cool.
May be the best medicine for curing depression and anxiety. But before we get into that, let's go to the phone, 603-283-6160, if you want to join us, because we do have Bad Slave on the line from here in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Aria.
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
And I, you know, I have to ask your, I kind of fail to understand. I know that the federal courts are special places, meaning, you know, intensely corrupt.
That's
why does anyone take a plea without the details known of the consequences?
Well, that's a fair question. To the extent that anything could be known, I was offered a deal back in April of this year where the prosecutors would argue for 12 months in prison, and my attorney could probably get that argued down to 12 months of probation or whatever, and they could hash that out. But they were always going to argue for me to be sent to prison. That was never taken off the table in the way that it was with Andy and Renee or nobody. For whatever reason, they want me to go to prison. So sometimes you just don't...
Because you're odd?
I don't know why. You'd have to ask the prosecutors.
Well, they want Ian to go to prison, too, so...
Yeah.
Didn't ask them?
No, I have tried to minimize my contact with the prosecutors.
I have a quick suspicion, because you're in first chair.
It could very well be that.
No, I mean, I've considered this from the get-go to be primarily an attack on Free Talk Live, and secondarily all of these other things, including an attack on Bitcoin.
Well, when the raid first happened, I remember it was kind of like, okay, so we have two people that know how to do everything.
Right.
It appears to be Aria and Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Regrettably, that is the case, and that's why, you know, there are so many questions about Free Talk Live that just can't be resolved yet. And I was hoping to have those answered, you know, in 15 more days with the original sentencing being on January 26th, but it got pushed back. So to answer your question, Vaslav, there was never any... The prosecutors, the federal court system, the American government, they don't like clear, unambiguous answers. They like shady, unclear answers in it whenever they can get them. So
they have altered the deal. Pray they do not alter it further.
Well, they told me they were going to, if I didn't take the plea deal back in April, they were going to bring further charges against me, and they were going to take the deal off the table. And I was like, okay, fine, well, bring your charges, because I'm not taking this deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did exactly what they said they would do. They brought more charges against me, and we sort of proceeded with that for the next few months. When it came time, it was clear to me that I was going to get, and I didn't know whether or not Ian would get convicted or not, but it was clear to me that I would almost certainly get convicted for operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. If nothing else, it seemed to me, after talking with my attorney and talking with the prosecutor, and having these hearings in the court, it was clear to me that I was going to get found guilty. So it didn't make any sense to go to trial on that particular issue. It would get the other charges dropped, and it would reduce the sentencing to the lowest amount possible. But whether that was going to be prison or probation, that's only up to the judge to decide, and no one else. So, I mean, we can't ask the judge what he's going to prescribe as the punishment.
But, I mean, as far as why anyone would take this deal, it's you have kidnappers, okay? So your kidnappers are telling you they want you to do a thing. Now, you don't know for sure that they will treat you better if you do that thing that they tell you they want you to do, but it's a pretty good bet they'll treat you less bad than if you don't.
It's a good way to put it.
Was that it?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, I've been in the position of having to take a, you know, 2.5 year cage time and a felony for a political crime of exercising my right to travel.
Well, I certainly did not want to take a plea deal. I wasn't inclined to take a plea deal. I mean, there's a reason I rejected the one back in April. It's like, no, I'm taking this to trial, and I'm not going to be persuaded to plead guilty to something that I'm not guilty of. However, as everything began to shake out, it became very, very clear that whether I felt I was breaking the law at the time I committed those actions or not was completely irrelevant. The prosecutors were defining money transmission as X, and the judge had agreed that money transmission was X. Congress had said that money transmission was X, and my argument was basically, okay, sure, but the Constitution or federal or jury nullification. Those were the only two arguments I had in my favor was, okay, well, it's unconstitutional because the Constitution never gave Vincent or the U.S. Treasury the right to do this in the first place, which it's a solid argument, but it was stricken down at the hearing to dismiss counts 1, 2, and 3 in, I think that was in September, maybe it was October, I don't remember the exact timeline now. But that was the constitutional argument we attempted to make, that it's unconstitutional.
Didn't they even see constitutional arguments in that court?
Yes.
Wow, because that's usually what every single time that I have ever seen anyone, even in federal court, bring up the Constitution, they're like, "Oh, well, we can't see that here." Like, nope, that's a matter for the Supreme Court. We don't deal with like your especially constitutional amendments and such.
That's what I assumed.
But. Well, we very much did. The argument was that the old Supreme Court, or prior to this most recent iteration of the Supreme Court, they relied on what was called the Chevron deference, which is this idea that if the Constitution did not explicitly forbid a government organization from doing something, then they were allowed to do it.
Mm.
Whereas the alternative to that, which this latest Supreme Court is doing, is called the Major Cases Doctrine or the Major Questions Doctrine, which is sort of the opposite, that if the Constitution hasn't explicitly authorized them to do something, then they're not allowed to. So it's either if we tell you that you, if we have not told you that you can't do it, then you can do it.
Mm.
That was the old way. And the new way is, if we haven't told you that you can do it, then you cannot do it.
Oh, the way it was actually written
yes.
into the 10th Amendment.
And we saw this recently with one of these major cases that came up. It was the EPA versus someone, and there was another example, and my attorney brought both of these. He was like, hey, look, you know, the Supreme Court just decided that these things were unconstitutional because it's too broad of an area for it to be regulated like this. It's clearly unconstitutional. And the judge disagreed. He said, well, I think you're applying this, he said to my attorney, in a way that is novel and that it's not meant to be applied. So I'm not going to accept this argument. I'm going to allow these charges to proceed. I'm not going to dismiss them. And with all of those things considered, I took a plea deal. And, you know, I've had to live with that since.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the simple fact of the matter is that unlike actual contracts with human beings, they don't have to tell you what all the terms are. They just have to tell you, well, the terms will be within this range if you take this deal.
It seemed to me pretty obvious that the law in question, which authorized money transmitting businesses, it created that legal framework. It seemed to me very clear that it did not apply to cryptocurrency. And this was because in January of 2021, the law was amended in a way that clearly included cryptocurrency.
Hmm.
So prior to January of 2021, ipso facto, it did not include cryptocurrency. If it did, then it would not have been necessary for Congress to add cryptocurrency to it in January of 2021. This is all logical, right?
Yeah.
Logic doesn't necessarily matter in the court system when it comes to the Constitution and legality and frameworks and all of this other stuff. And I thought at one point that my attorney was making bad arguments. I was like, oh, he's lost it, and he's slipping, he's making a bad case. And then I realized, I had a moment of lucidity where I realized that, no, my attorney was making great arguments, but they were on an entirely different level where I couldn't even comprehend the arguments they were having. Mm-hmm. It was just so far beyond me, and I was like, okay, I'm out. You know, I can't follow this argument at this point. And then my attorney and I discussed, he's like, okay, well, they're going to convict you on operating unlicensed money transmitting business unless you get a Hail Mary and the jury decides, you know, jury nullification happens, which
is very unlikely.
Right. I mean, it's not worth counting on at this point. So, I mean, my options were to plead guilty or to get found guilty in a federal courtroom, in which case, as we saw with Ian, they probably, yeah. I mean, the money laundering charges and the wire fraud charges, they clearly would have been dismissed prior to me going to court. But then I would have still gotten hit with the conspiracy charge. So I would have come off worse if I had gone to trial definitively by this point.
From where I stand, so there's an old saying that you can get a jury to indict a ham sandwich.
Yes.
Which, because they used to, and every now and again, they'll actually do this process for, like, a murder trial. But there used to be a thing where you actually had to get human beings to say, yeah, that's an actual crime. We should have a court for that. And it became so easy that the phrase was you can get the jury to indict a ham sandwich. And from where I stand, it's very clear that you can also get a jury to convict a ham sandwich at this point.
It was actually a judge who made the statement that you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich.
Oh, I didn't know that part of it.
Yep. I think it was a federal judge in the state of New York, actually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's true, and that's the way the game is played, right? A grand jury is just a group of, I don't know, some number of people who they know if they vote to indict, they're not sending anyone to prison. It's no harm off their back. It's no consequence to them. It's not immoral for them.
Except it is.
Well, yes,
yeah,
but they...
Except it completely degrades our civilization, but they don't care about that.
No, they don't view it that way.
They want to go home.
Yeah, they want to go home, and the prosecutors are probably telling them, look, we're not asking you if this person's guilty. We're saying, here's the evidence that Aria is operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. Should we indict Aria and take Aria to trial for operating an unlicensed money transmitting business? And their argument is, well, if Aria is not guilty, then that jury will find her not guilty. So what does it matter? Yeah, let her have a trial.
And also, I just want to say something about juries really quick. I feel like when the jury was invented previously, communities were smaller, right?
Yeah.
So those were your peers.
Right.
Those were people
who... They actually knew you,
who,
knew people who knew you.
Exactly. Yeah. So we don't need all these character references and stuff. You're just known throughout the community. It's not just... Now our population has grown so big that these are complete strangers. You know, they've never heard of you before. And if they have, it was rumors or... Whatever it is. I know they're not supposed to research people and things about the case while they're on the jury, but we don't know what they're doing. Their computers aren't being tracked.
Yeah,
they can do whatever
totally
they want.
It's upside down.
You know?
Completely backwards from where you'd be. Where now, if they find out that you know the person, well, that
You're
makes
off.
Them ineligible for jury selection.
Exactly. So how are these peers? And I think that's why it's so easy for them to just be like, yep, guilty. Because it just seems, for some reason, it's easier to get all of them to agree if they all have to agree. It's easier for all of them to just be like, yep, guilty, than innocent. I don't...
And like you were just pointing out, when they're voting on whether or not to indict you, they're like, oh, well, I have a clear conscience, because I'm just saying we should have a trial to find out. So, I mean, you're thinking reasonably enough, well, you wouldn't have me in here to ask if we should have a trial if there wasn't a question.
Yeah.
So, let's answer the question. But the thing is, when you get to the trial, all of those people have somewhere in their minds, well, if they didn't do it, why are they on trial?
Yeah.
The bigger problem is that it often doesn't go to trial because it is nothing for the grand jury to offer up the indictment. So then the prosecutor, they bring those charges against you. They say, okay, you've been charged with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business and all of here's 9 other things that you've been charged with. If you plead guilty to this charge and this charge, we'll drop these other charges. And we won't bring additional charges against you. Because you know at that point that they can go to that grand jury and they say, you know what, we also think Aria was money laundering and evading taxes and insert whatever financial crimes you can come up with or structuring. We think Aria was doing all of these things and we want to indict her for these as well. So then they have that to threaten you with where they say...
Yep.
Accept this plea deal, we'll drop all of these charges, and you know we can bring these additional charges against you. We can bring 15, 20,000, we can bring 1,000 more charges against you if we want.
Right.
And we'll do that unless you accept this plea deal, at which point you don't get a trial anymore because you've accepted the plea deal. And that's the way the American justice system is played. That's why something like they like touting the number that 98% is the federal conviction rate. It's actually like 99.6% or something like that. It's insanely successful, but it includes plea deals. It includes all of those people who accepted plea deals because they didn't want to get charged with additional stuff.
And that's the majority of people.
And there's no justice in this, people. Look, if someone is guilty of these crimes, do you really want a justice system that is going to cut them a deal, that is going to cut them a break? In addition,
and most people that accept plea deals aren't actually guilty. They're just trying to avoid whatever worse punishment.
Yeah.
We can speculate that's true.
I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Like, if someone comes to you and says, hey, you can either pee in this cup and give me $500, or you can spend 5 years in jail. I mean, 50-50 on the 5 years in jail. Like, maybe you'll get convicted, maybe you won't. But who wants to go to a roll of the dice of spending time in jail when they could just pee in a cup and give you $500? I mean, they didn't do it, but why would they risk it?
Well, the average American, as I understand it, commits 3 felonies a day.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone out there listening could be indicted for any one of those felonies. And then the prosecutors say, okay, well, plead guilty to felony 1 and we'll drop felonies 2 and 3. But don't plead guilty and we'll bring 10 different charges against you.
Right.
And maybe they're guilty, maybe they're not. It's sort of irrelevant at that point. But if they are guilty, what sort of justice system is it for the system to be cutting them deals?
Mm.
Or if they're guilty of murdering 15 other people, what level of justice is it for them to be, okay, well, if you plead guilty to murders 2 and 3, we'll drop all of those. What about those 15 other people who were murdered? There's no justice for them in this. The entire system is not built on justice. It's so hopelessly corrupt and counter to anything that was supposed to be good that I don't know what else to say about it except, man.
And even if you get completely off scot-free, they find by a jury of your peers you didn't do what you're accused of. Okay, they've drained how much of your life, how much of your anxiety, how much of your money. They've ruined you this much and you will never get any of that back.
But despite all of that, there is actual justice to be found in the system. Believe it or not, there's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.